Blog Talk Radio.
I think I can speak for all men when I say there's something exceptional, unique about a woman.
I'm your host, Red Snapper, and here we are on this Monday doing our thing, the sixth month, the third day, 2013. And we're going to be doing it like we always do, and it's warm and pretty outside, and we're loving it. And we just want to thank you for coming on. And anybody who's listening, we know the number is 347-215-8539. And this is Grown Folks Radio, and we do it like that. So we got two special guests that's going to be on this evening, two lovely ladies that we haven't had on the show in quite some time, but they're back, and I'm so glad to have them. And we're going to have them introduce themselves in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I just want to let you know that there's some things that's going on with Red Snapper. There's some new books coming out. As you know, we got things coming this way. The Fire and Desire anthology is coming pretty soon. Should be coming out at the end of this summer, hopefully, if not before then. So we'll be bringing that to you as well. But we just want to make sure you understand that is coming. There's some book signing that's going to be coming up as well. We're going to keep you informed and let you know what's going on. So that's just how we do it here at Word Sexy Radio. And before we go any further, I'm just going to get ready to bring my guests in right now. We're going to do that, and let's see, hold on, before we do that, let me make sure I got everything in order, because you know how things do and how technology messes up for some reason. We're going to see where we're at right now with the chat room, because the chat room is open as well for those who are interested in that. We can get that going, and you can do your questions there if you don't want to talk to the ladies. I don't know why you wouldn't want to talk to these beautiful women, but some people are scared like that, so we're just going to go ahead. But I'm going to go ahead and get DV in. DV, how you doing, brother?
What's up, man? You picked a hell of a night.
I bet you did. I bet. Yeah, I know this is the night of that championship. I know. But we got two lovely ladies. Hopefully that'll make you feel a little better about that. But turn your TV on, but just don't have the sound up. You can watch it at the same time.
Too late.
We got Monica Marie Jones here. We also have Shay Nolan. I'm going to bring them in right now so we can talk to both of them. And you said it's too late. Is that what you said? Too late, too late.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm sorry, brother, but you know, we here and we do our thing. Okay, so here we go. Monica Marie Jones, how are you doing this evening?
I am wonderful. Thank you very much.
And we're so glad to have you on the show. It's been quite some time. I think the last time I saw you in person was here in Kansas City.
Yes, and that was years ago.
Yeah, it was like decades ago. You're right. It definitely was a long time ago. But we also have Shay Nolan on the show. How are you doing, Shay?
Hey, Red. I'm good. How are you, babe?
Hey, great to hear your voice as well right here in Kansas City. So how's it going?
It's going. I can't complain
okay.
too much.
Well, we got you two ladies, and we're going to both get you both in because I know y'all probably got things to do. It's a two-hour show because we got time for both of y'all. DV might want to leave and go watch the show or the game, but I'm telling you, I'm going to stay here and enjoy y'all if that's okay.
That's fine with me.
Okay, so Monica, we're going to start with you because you surprised me today with something that came out. I was looking at that book cover. Tell us a little bit about this book that you just got out.
I know where you're going with that, but...
Tell me about that.
Okay, so for the last probably 2 or 3 years, probably since I last saw you, I took a little bit of a break from my regular writing, and I took some time to study financial literacy and financial freedom because I realized that, you know, I was like 32, and I'm like, you know, I make good money, but what in the world do I have to show for it? I don't own my house. I don't own my car. I was like, what am I doing with my life? I started to really study, you know, financial literacy, financial freedom, investing, and, like, you know, 3 years, basically, reading the books, going to the seminars, listening to the audio books. And from that, I synthesized everything I learned, put it into practice, and then I wrote this book about that journey. So...
Damn.
That is where my book came from.
But you know, you know what the cover looks like. Everybody's gonna be talking about the Illuminati and all this stuff, and saying you all develop devil worshiper and shit. So what about that?
Here's what's so funny. So when I do my book, I give my graphic designer a vision, and then I just tell him to be creative and run with it. So when I get the book cover back, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I'm like, oh, it's kind of like the money symbol, the dollar bill. And I'm like, okay, cool, I approve it. So then when I start showing everybody, they're like, oh, my goodness, that's the Illuminati. And I'm like, well, that, oh, it is? I'm like, that's not what I intended it for.
Yeah, the brain, you got the big brain there and Illuminati sign. Well, it's not really Illuminati, but, you know, they try to use that. Have you seen it, DV?
Not at all, but you know what?
You need
I'm about to
see
pull up
it,
a computer
man.
And look at it right now.
Pull it up, brother, because I'm telling you, it's a nice cover. Yeah.
Right, so I said, you know what, that was not my intent, but if it's going to start conversation, if it's going to make people want to read the book, then so be it.
But, well, let's be
honest. Yeah, I hear you.
That it is, like, I love reading books about money and the journey because I'm a self-taught money man myself, you know. Like, I learned how to read the stock market, how to, you know, invest money and whatnot. And I'm very frugal, you know, because I'm one of those people that believes that ultimately the money that you save doing, you know, living under your means is the money that you'll be living off of being able to go above those means. So,
exactly.
Like, I love reading stuff like that. The problem is that we have a hard time getting black people to read literature like that. You know, it's all about the here and now. If you can't die, I hear so many people say, you can't die with it. So what are you going, like, how do you get those people to purchase your book? The same people, like, well, I can't, you know, it's not going to go with me when I'm dead, so might as well spend it now.
Well, most of the people that want to read about money is either trying to sell drugs or something like that, so they figure that's the only way they can do it. So go ahead, Monica.
Exactly. And that's why I wrote the book in the way that I did. I made it a really short 30-day manageable chunk book. So for those people who don't want to read all the hundreds of books I probably read, I took like a real powerful quote from each book or each millionaire or billionaire that we may know or have heard of, and I made that the beginning of every chapter, and then I kind of wrote something from that. And I used a lot of real life examples because I've been in the situation of debt. I've been in the situation of living from paycheck to paycheck. But then I was able to jump into real estate investing in Detroit. And one of the biggest things is that people don't believe a lot of the opportunities that are out here, so they won't take advantage of it just because they don't believe it. And the first house I bought in Detroit was $500. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, right, no, it's going to be messed up, so on and so forth. You know, that's the case sometimes, but I got that house for $500, and I ended up selling it for like five times that. So, I mean, that can't hurt. That can't hurt anything, right, to just try to take that leap. To get in the game, at least. So that's
kind of
what I talk about in the book.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah,
so I'm going to have to check that out.
Like, sometimes, you know, and that's what the problem that I realize a lot of people with money have. Like the NBA players, NFL players, and the reason why they're going broke is because they don't read up on all of the stuff that they're investing in. And when it goes bust, that's another opportunity lost. So now they're losing millions upon millions of dollars because they just throwing money at it rather than learning about the process.
Well, you know, they don't give none of these players, football players or any of these athletes, a class on how to deal with the money that they get. They just
give them a check.
They don't listen.
And because they come
guys,
in,
man,
be, you know,
right.
to barely out of their teenage years thinking that they got X amount of years to make X amount of millions of dollars. When the truth of the matter
right.
is, the average NFL player plays for 3 years, the average NBA plays for four. You know,
right.
so really, you got your whole life ahead of you, and you only going to make that money 3 or 4 years at the most.
Right. Understood. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, that's interesting. So what else have you been doing besides doing the financial thing? Because I know, I mean, that, so this is what, book six for you or what?
Man.
Seven.
Oh, excuse me.
Seven.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
And it's really
let me make sure we get the numbers.
Sometimes it's really number eight because sometimes I'll sneak in a steamy little book under a pseudonym or a pen name. So
okay.
But as far as Monica Marie Jones, it's number seven.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Other than that, I've been really getting back into the writing world. Like I said, I took a break to study the finances and get into investing, and now that I kind of have a grasp on that, I'm getting back into the writing world. So I have this, I planned this writer's retreat this summer at a beautiful resort in the woods in Michigan. So hopefully some of you can come see us in Michigan. It will be warm. You don't have to deal with our crazy snow. And we're just going to get away, sit by the lake, write, share, you know, and have a funky good time in July.
Well, let me know. Let us know. We can try to get up there. Now, you say it's going to be in July?
Yep, July 19th through 21st, the Inspiration, Inc., as in I-N-K. So summer writer's retreat. So just 3 days of getting with some like minds. There are only going to be like 15 to 20 of us. I want to keep it intimate. And I have a nice little schedule where we're mostly writing, but we're also going to spend some time sharing. I'm going to have a professional photographer there to do photo shoots for all of the authors that's included in your registration, all your meals. I got a couple of workshops thrown in, a bonfire. So we're going to have a really good time.
I like the intimate part. Anyway, we'll just, you know, my sounder and stuff is a little loud today. But anyway, we thank you definitely for coming. Don't leave because we're not done with you yet. But I just want to talk to Shay for a minute because Shay has been on a hiatus, and we just want to kind of find out what's going on with you. How you doing, Shay?
I'm doing good, Ray. Yeah, I've been on a little bit of a hiatus, probably about 3.5 years, and, you know, been taking care of business, working, taking care of the kids, and, you know, writing kind of got put on the back burner for a second, but I thought it was time for me to make a reappearance.
All right. Well, we know you got something coming because I know that you, your mind wanders all the round and all kinds of things. So I'm sure you got something that you're going to tell us what to expect from you that's coming up pretty soon. You got any projects that you're working on, or is it just, what are you doing?
I do. I have two books that I'm working on. I'll kind of switch back and forth between the two. You know, tentative scheduled date of release somewhere mid-October. Maybe late September, just depends on how much I put my focus and hat on and delve into them. One's called Thicker Than Water, and the other is called High Society.
Okay. So we'll definitely be looking for that. And like I said, you've been taking care of business and stuff, and sometimes the domestic side of things does have to take its toll, especially when it comes with kids, because you don't want to leave them neglected. You know, you got to take care of them and make sure they're good to go and all that. So we understand that.
I have
so.
Teenagers, so.
Yeah. Understood. So, DV, are you watching the television or you got some questions?
No comment, but I do got some questions. So, Ms.
Well, go ahead, brother.
You said you got these books coming out later on this year, right?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I may seem like a little bit of asshole for asking this, but it is the nature of what we do. I mean, as far as your book goes, what is so special about your book or your characters that makes me want to go out or makes, you know, any of the readers want to go out and buy it?
What makes my book or my character so special that's going to make you or the
what
readers
make,
want to
what makes this book stand out away, you know, from the other imitation and stagnation and stagnative books that are already on the shelves? What makes this particular book stand out from all the rest or these particular
Okay. Number one, anytime I write, I set out to supersede the book I've written before, the way I've written it before, and I don't want to put myself in a box and keep recycling the same type of story that I see. I'm also an avid reader, so I don't want to recycle the same type of stories that I see out there every day. I want to write about things that people, number one, yes, they can relate to it, but it's also something different that they haven't seen before and put a new twist on it that a lot of black authors either are afraid to delve into or just don't want to delve into, and they want to keep it going the same status quo with relationship drama, you know, or something about strippers and gangsters and drugs. And I'm trying to step outside of the box and write about something that has to do with, of course, intelligent black people, you know, educated, but it's not necessarily going to be focused on just African-American readers. I want everybody to be able to read my book.
Okay. So, I mean, what, like, tell us a little bit about the first book that you have coming out. Give us a little history of the characters.
Okay.
Before you answer that, though, before you answer that, let me give DV a little bit of background. Shay is an author that has, I think you have three books already that's been out. Everything You Owe Me, and what's the name of the other two? I'm sorry.
And it's Everything You Owe Me, Greedy, and then there was one that was that published in 2006 called Tell Me No Lies.
Right. Okay. All right, so go ahead. Go ahead with that answer.
Okay. The question was, I'm sorry, my mind is just, can you see?
Don't feel bad, because I can't remember my damn stuff. I'm sitting there watching the game. But
okay, let me try to bring it in. Okay, the question was, he wants to know, what is the first book about that, and how did you come up with the development of your character? And I kind of paraphrase it the way I perceived him to say it, but that'll work. The paraphrasing, you know, kind of like what he said. But anyway, the question is, how was this book going to be? I mean, when you did your focus of it, you know, how did you develop your characters, and what is the genre that you're actually writing in, and as far as this goes?
The genre is still going to be in the contemporary fiction drama, but it's going to be more of a thriller / drama with a little bit of family dramatics and romance mixed in. So it's kind of hard to put it into one box, but it's still going to be in the line of contemporary fiction. The story is basically about some family dynamics. There's two brothers. One of the brothers is actually a criminal profiler, and the younger brother is always pulling his younger brother out of trouble. The younger brother is sort of like the black sheep of the family, and the older brother thinks that he has to. There's something that happened in the past that he's trying to make up for by protecting his younger brother. He thinks that there's this guilt that he carries that he's been carrying since they were children, for something that he could not protect him from, and he's been making excuses and pulling him out of trouble. But there's going to be a circumstance that causes a rift between a rift in his marriage, and he has to basically choose. And the question stands that, you know, is blood actually or really thicker than water?
And what's the title?
Interesting.
The title is Thicker Than Water.
Okay. Well, duh. You know, it just didn't dawn on duh.
yeah, DV. Stop watching that goddamn television. Anyway.
You don't. Dude. Okay.
I know, man. I'm watching it too. But anyway, the thing is I think it's very good. And like I said, when you come up with the characters, and Monica can attest to this too, when you come up with characters, and all of y'all, all of us, because we're seasoned writers, all of us. So, you know, your characters definitely have to play a part, and not only just be that one-sided type of character where you already know what they're going to do when you read the character. You know, I always try to make sure that there's something that you may think is going one way, and then you find out they're doing something else, you're like, and it blows your mind. You're like, what? I didn't see that coming. So, you know, you just want to have that kind of thing, and I'm sure that you have that, because I've read some of your work, and I know how you have your twists and turns. But,
well, you know what, Rick?
So,
when you say that, it's just that, you know, I've learned over time, and, you know, like I said, I always go back and look at what I've written before and always figure out what I could have done better and what I plan to do better with the next book. And I know, you know, I critique my own self, I'm my own worst critic sometimes, but I do see things that I should have changed in previous books, and sometimes I had a habit of, per se, giving away the baby, even though it was dramatic, there was drama, there was intensity, but sometimes there was that, okay, sometimes I can pick out what's going to happen, and then some people couldn't. It just depended on the reader, but this time around with these two books, I want it to be that aha moment at the very, you know, towards the very end. I don't want, you know, any indication that I'm going to figure this shit out right, you know, right before it gets to the end or right in the middle of the book. I want to keep the intensity going until, you know, people just throw the motherfucking book down and be like, really? She did that? She did that.
Absolutely. That's what we're talking about.
That's what I'm saying, because we all love whodunits, because there's nothing better than thinking you know something and being completely wrong. Like, oh, I got that wrong. I thought it was so
absolutely.
Because, yeah, you know, we all love that. But you're right.
And see,
more often than not, they aren't well done. And then you can already pick out who it is, like, as soon as the first 10 pages are done. Like, so-and-so
right.
did it. You know,
right.
so.
Yeah,
I
so
mean,
Monica,
we're all,
kind of give
you
us.
Know, that makes it exciting. Because we're all looking
right.
for that book that keeps us on the edge.
True.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to ask Monica real quick. I know I was jumping in. I'm sorry. Monica, so in your character development, you know, because I've read a couple of your books. You know, I read Swag and all of that. So, And those were great books. And, you know, with your character development, kind of give us a little background on how you did that. Now, and before you answer that, though, I'm going to throw another question in there. When you did the financial thing, is that more of a nonfiction type self-help book, or was it just a character that was going through something that you experienced, or how did that go? Because I want to read that book.
You know what? It is nonfiction with a little twist of inspiration, but what I realized after I finished writing that was that I need to bring the fourth book in the series of Floss and Swag, even though I haven't finished the third one yet, but the fourth called Mogul, and it's going to be about a black female millionaire. So I'm going to use the things from Momentum and my journey and put it into a fictional character for my fourth book in that series.
And I knew that already. That's why I asked that question. But anyway, I knew that was coming. But that's good. So Shay, the second book, you know, we can talk a little bit about that. Now, you said, are these both going to be coming out around the end of the year or after the fall time frame, or is one coming out in the fall and then maybe one is in the winter, or how is that going to work?
Right. I'm going to try, you know what, we always say we're going to try to get things out. I would prefer to have them both out at the same time, but if not, I would like to get Thicker Than Water out at least by late September, mid-October, and then maybe High Society could be more of a winter read because of the context of what the story is about. So I'd like to have, you know, close proximity to one another.
Sounds good. Well, you know, I'm not really going to talk too much about me, but like I said, the book I'm working on now, I intentionally took my time on it because a lot of times we throw books out there too fast. My intent, because I already have, since I have 15 books out there now, I'm just taking my time with this one, and it will be out in the fall, but I have been writing this book since last year and taking my time intentionally because I want to also, you know, let it marinate and let it just get there, because this book is like the last book of the series that I have, and I want to make sure that everybody's question is answered in this, because the Guild is something that people want to know about. If you haven't read any of Red Snapper books, you know, there's a secret society called the Guild, and everybody wants to know how it came about. So I'm going through every little page necessary to make sure everybody understands. When they get through reading this book, they're going to know how that shit came about and how it all got to where it is today. So we want to make sure of that. But before we go any further, I see another number. I'm going to see if this person is a 734 number. I'm going to see if they have a question. If not, please don't hang up. But first three, I'm just going to say the first three number is 717. So state your name and where you're calling from. And if you don't have a question, please don't hang up. Sometimes I scare people away. So if they must do not have a question, I'm going to let them go. All right, so we'll continue to go forth. So, Monica, tell me more about this retreat you said that you got coming up. Now, I would like to come to that, but the way this thing is working for me, I am looking at it like I'm going to be in Dallas for 2 weeks, and right at the end of that is the 19th is where I'm supposed to come back this way. So I may try to see about trying to smooth up in that direction if possible. But so is this like, did you have certain authors in mind that you wanted to do this, or is it like all female, or is it a couple of guys?
Initially, it was all men that registered. We finally got some females that registered. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I could be
they
out.
Wanna come see you, don't they? They want to come see you, don't they? Okay, all right.
But, you know, this is something that I have been saying I was going to do for years and thinking about for years. And then finally, this year, I've been really studying. I've actually been going to a seminar weekly studying integrity. And it's like, you know what? Do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Stop talking about it and take the action. So I just put up a whole bunch of my own money and just said, I got to make it work. Put down a deposit and say, okay, now I made the commitment. Now I have to figure it out. So.
Well, can you mention some of the names of people that you may have that might be appearing?
Yeah, well, so far, a lot of Michigan authors. Chris Lee is an author that is with my publishing company who does inspiration. I have a screenwriter, Richard Grundy, I believe is his last name. Sylvia Hubbard from Michigan is going to be joining us. I have some new and aspiring writers coming that are, you know, this is going to be like their first book, so they're just coming out to just be around the presence and and, you know, get inspired. And that's pretty much it so far. A bunch of Michigan authors. So I definitely want to hear from out of state. Now, a couple people I met, I want to say, I think I met her at the last event I saw you at. Oh, no, wait a minute. I met her at the Faith and Fiction Retreat, actually, in Atlanta. Nia Shanti, she said she's going to come out. She lives in Texas. So
what's her name again? I'm sorry.
Nia Shanti is her name.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I'm really trying to get people from out of state to come on because I want everybody to, you know, like I've been traveling all your, you know, all your different cities, meeting some amazing people, so I want that same synergy to happen here in Michigan. Michigan writers, we're around each other all the time, and I want us to really branch out and meet some new people and kind of mix it up like we did when we were, you know, in your city.
Right, right. Yeah, I tell you, it'd be nice, you know, and I don't think I've ever been to Michigan. I've traveled a lot of places, and I don't think that's one of them I've been to, because I would remember that. No, I haven't been to the 8 Mile or none of that stuff, so I mean, I haven't seen GM or nothing like that, the tower and all that. No, I have not been there.
Yeah, Michigan ain't on the best of terms.
Well, come on, it's not as bad as CNN and everybody else makes it seem.
No, I'm from Ohio, and, you know, we hate all things Michigan, so.
Oh, damn. Did he actually say that shit. Damn. Okay. Well, I can't say. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll see if we can try to make that. If not, I know you have some other things that will be coming up. You definitely want to get involved because I hadn't seen you in quite some time, and it'd be nice to see you again. And the person that was on the line that was from your area jumped off, so I guess they didn't like what was being said. But anyway, all right, so we'll just keep going. And you know how it is on Word Sexy. We say what the fuck we want to, and sometimes people just don't like that, and they just roll on. And we've had guests on here that called, and they hung up, and we ran them away and all kinds of stuff. So I don't know. But anyway, it's the way it is. So now Shay has got books coming out, and that's good. We know that. And usually we have Cotton. I don't know if she's still traveling or not. Usually she's here, and she brings us some type of relationship subject that we can talk about. But since she's not here, if she doesn't come within the next 20 minutes, I'm going to give that cast to you guys. Any question that you may have that you want to know about relationships, whether it be about men, women, or anything that you had an issue or not an issue with, or just want to know, we can discuss that in the second hour if you like to hang around. We usually like to do that because we like to get that. A lot of people enjoy that part of it, and they actually, have questions. So, and even in the chat room, if you have questions there, we would like for you also to ask your questions there, and we'll get it out as we do. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play a little song here, a little intermission, Jill, and then we're going to come right back and, get into that. So, but before we do that, I would like very much for you both to tell people how they can get your books, the name of your books, and how they can get them. Well, if they want to have you come to a book signing or something like that, how would they be able to do that? We'll start with you, Mom.
Well, to find me, you can visit my website, which is MonicaMarieJones.com, and it was just updated, so you'll see some recent pictures, all of my book covers, information about the retreat. Pretty much you can find everything from there, my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook. It all starts there, MonicaMarieJones.com.
Yeah, you were on there with these gowns on and stuff, so I'm going to have to ask about that later. Anyway, go ahead. I thought they looked nice. But anyway, okay, so Shay.
Yes.
How can they get in contact with you? How can they get their books or any kind of way that they can, if people want you to do a book sign or if they want you, just want to talk to you about your books or anything, how can they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me via Facebook, my email, shaynolan@hotmail.com. I finally got a Twitter page. Still figuring out how to work it. My kids have to show me sometimes. I'm not, I think I'm tech-savvy like that, but, I finally got a Twitter page, so they can contact me that way, too. And I'll be posting.
Yeah, like once you get the hang of it.
from the stories on Twitter and Facebook. So, I mean, they can contact me and send me an email if they want to, you know, ask questions, or if they want to, you know, if there's book clubs and want to invite me to talk or speak about my books, or, you know, let them know when they're coming out, they can reach me that way.
Right. Okay. All right, so ladies, will y'all be able to stick around? Because I would like very much if y'all can. I know y'all have important things in your life that's going on, but I don't want to do the second hour with DV and him watching the television and it just be me breathing and playing music. So will y'all be sticking around
just,
and kind of talk a little relationship?
I'm multitasking.
I know you are, brother. But usually Cotton is here. And she, I don't know where she is right now. I don't know if she's still traveling because she had went to California. And I'm not sure if she's back or not. But we want to go
maybe
ahead
and maybe
she
still
hate
us from last week.
She could, because she went the fuck off on us, didn't she? Because we talked about
she...
Tyler Perry. We don't want to talk about Tyler Perry to some people. If you say Tyler Perry's fucked up, people will go crazy. Any of y'all like
Tyler Perry.
Okay. So is that a warning? Don't talk about him?
You can talk about him. I just said I love him. I think he's brilliant. But you know,
Well, I don't have nothing negative. We weren't even talking negative about him. We were just saying come up with something new. And she went the fuck off.
anytime you criticize somebody, especially somebody of color, you know, people automatically see it as negativity. And critique
right.
and negativity are two entirely different things.
But we also brought up Tarantino, and they didn't want to hear that. It was like, oh, no, he ain't the same. No, he ain't getting dogged. Well, yes, he is, because he's out the box.
I still dog him.
You know? But I like his stuff, you know, and I don't hate Tyler Perry's stuff. It's just we want something different, and we're going to leave that alone because I don't want to go there. And Monica has not said anything, so I don't know.
Well, I love him, too, but I'm always up for a good, you know, conversation and discussion. I understand the point of view of people who have, you know, criticisms, but, you know, I look at you like, you have done something that no one else has done, despite what you think about it, and I'm enamored by that, right?
Yeah, well, like I said, we're not dogging him. Now, if we was talking about motherfucking Steve Harvey, then we'd be dogging his ass. But anyway, all right, so here we go. I'm going to play this song real quick, and then we're going to come back. And ladies, hopefully y'all got some type of subject y'all want to talk about, or something or question that we can bring up and discuss in relationship issues, or something that you wonder, like, why the niggas scratch their balls or whatever. I don't know, whatever it is you want to know. We're going to talk about that after we get back from the break. So be ready, be ready, be ready.
Heaven must be like this.
back to Word Sexy Radio, and here we are again with our guests. We got Monica Reed Jones, and we got Shay Nolan, and we're doing our thing, me and DV, and now we got Cotton on the line. So how you doing, Miss Cotton?
Hey, how's everybody?
We're doing just fine. Just didn't know if you were coming and didn't know if you were still traveling because I knew you were out doing your thing. So how's that going?
It's going good. I'm still out here in Cali.
Oh, yeah, you're still in Cali. Okay, well, the weather's not bad here. I know it's great there, so we just won't even get into that. But guess what? We're at the show, at the part of the show where we want a subject to talk about, and you just came in just right at the right damn time.
Glad you called.
So what do we want to talk about?
Oh, wow.
Relationships.
You know, I don't really have a topic right at the second.
You ain't got no subject?
Oh, yes, this was the subject because I was trying to remember what it was from last week because we were talking. It's a business relationship.
It ain't Tyler Perry. We ain't talking about him. No, okay, go ahead. But first, before you go, speak to Monica Marie Jones and Shay Nolan. They're our guests this evening.
Hey, ladies, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I'm
wonderful. I've missed so much already.
Well, you know, they did their interviews, and well, before you got here, we got a chance to speak to them about their books. And now we're going to go forth in this great subject, and they decided to stay. I'm glad they did, so we can talk about some shit that they want to talk about some men, because I know it's some fucked up shit they want to talk about that we do, or something else that we don't do, or what women do. Hell, I don't know. But let's talk about it.
The topic is actually business relationships.
Okay.
Because you have the man-woman business relationships and the crossover. Is it okay to cross over into personal if you're doing business with the opposite sex?
Can that also be kind of like open? Because there was also a question of open from the chat line. Open relationships. So this is a good segue there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So business relationships. DV, you want to start off?
Okay, which topic are we talking on? The business
relationship
or the
open
relationship?
Whatever one you want to start with. Monica's going to have to leave in about 15 minutes, so let's do open real quick and then get into business.
Yeah, let her say her piece on.
I can speak to both of them. This is Monica, so whenever you're ready for me to jump
in. Go, sweetheart, right now, go.
Okay, I'll start with business relationships because, see, I'm very guilty of the crossover. Because issue is a man that's about his business and that handles business and that, you know, gets things done is a complete turn on for me, and I am attracted to that. So,
really?
It's kind of
I should
hard,
have did that
you
to
know.
You. No, I'm just playing
you know,
I'm messing with you. Keep going.
You know,
I'm playing. Keep going.
Especially if you're super hot, you know, but I try to keep things, you know, business. But, you know, it is definitely difficult. And I have had situations where a business partner I began dating. And I think
did it turn you on because you was crossing the line that you knew you weren't supposed to and it was that intriguing to you and the shit was even hotter because you crossed that shit? How was that?
Well, sometimes I do like to do things just because it's a challenge, you know, and something you're not supposed to do. I will say that. But it's definitely... I definitely love to see somebody that makes power moves. So that's one thing. But what I have found is that sometimes the men have a harder time separating the emotions from the business.
Really?
Business is business. Let's handle business, then we can fight later or whatever the case may be. But I don't intertwine the two, and I have seen that men tend to be more emotional. That's my point of view.
Okay, that's business. Now go ahead with your open.
And I wanted to talk about open because I recently tried that for the first time just because I feel like all the closed ones haven't been super successful. So it wasn't even like a wild and freaky open relationship thing. It was like, you know, I don't want anything heavy or serious right now, so you date other people, I date other people. But what caught
Make
me
sure
by
you strapped
surprise,
up.
No, no shacking up either. Just having a good
no,
time.
No, strapped up. I'm talking about strapped up. Make sure you strapped up so you want to bring her
shit
to you.
Oh, of course. But listen, yeah. The thing about it is, you know, what we came to find out was that, in his words, there are rules to war. You see, you think open relationship, you think, hey, you know, I can do what I want. But, you know, in his mind, well, you can't date people I know. And in my mind, I'm like, well, you can't get in another open relationship with somebody else when you are in an open relationship with me. It has to all be, you know, you just date them, you know. So what I found is that, what I found is that I thought it was pretty cool at first, but it really is not for me.
So he only wanted to do, he only wanted you to do him, but you could date other people. But only when it came to sex, it was only him.
It was about not dating other people that he knew because he didn't want to, you know, have to deal with that. He wanted it to be strangers. So that, you know, yeah. So I, what I learned was that, you know, the closer you get to someone and the more you care, the less open you want things to be. So it's really
right.
A tricky situation.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. But I see that, though. Okay. So did anybody else want to comment on that real quick? Because we're gonna, I know we're going to get into the business deal here in a second. Because I know that Monica has to go. But interesting analogy of the two. I like that. And I guess the main thing, Cotton, that what you asked about the business thing, you just got to know when to cross and when not to, right? I mean, if it's supposed to be just business, then it should be just that. But sometimes, even me, we want to do more than just be, you know, if you're fine and we'll do business with you, but damn, it's like, damn. I'm going to do more.
Right.
But that messes everything up. It's just like, go ahead.
I was going to say something about what she said a little bit in that statement as well. I know I worked at a warehouse, and the guy and I, we weren't dating anymore, but we still worked in the same place. Well, he had the problem separating the fact that we're at work, and this is where I do my business. Once we leave here, then you can talk to me about the personal stuff. But he had a problem, even though he was seeing somebody else, he had a problem separating the two. So I find, like earlier, I find that some men have a real hard time separating the business from the personal.
And
it's not always the women that are the ones that are falling weak to that. It's a lot of men do a real, I've had that experience a lot.
That sounds to me like you was done with him. He wanted to keep it going. He didn't want to see you with nobody else. That's what that sounds like.
Right.
Not really a business. A business thing to me would be like you're working, you're doing a project together, but he wants to take the intimate side into that. But to me, it sounded like what you just would describe was you already had been there with this person, but now you're done, and now you work somewhere together. But he didn't want to see you with nobody.
I mean that part of it is true too. But he couldn't separate the business in the workplace. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
that's what I mean.
Whether we were in
yeah.
the workplace or out of the workplace, he didn't want to see me with anybody, but he couldn't get past the fact that we're working right now. So later, then we can talk about all that other stuff because right now it's not the time for it. But like she said earlier, I still see that men sometimes have a problem with separating the two. Now we're working together, we're doing work in the store.
See, his thrill was probably doing it somewhere in the corner, somewhere in the place, and getting the thrill of that shit. That's probably what it sounded like to me. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, but to men, it's all disrespect. You know, plain and simple, and that's how a lot of guys see it. So there is no place and time, no rational discussion when they feel they've been disrespected. Now, you know, in his mind, it wouldn't matter if you wasn't seeing nobody. If a dude just glanced at you, you know, all of a sudden I'm disrespected.
Absolutely.
And, I mean,
that's absolutely
that's
correct.
Ultimately, you know, that's ultimately where that falls upon me. I've always firmly believed that you don't shit where you eat. You know, because if we fall out, guess what? We got to see each other all the damn time now. You
right.
know? So I've never. Gone. Like one time I dated somebody that I worked with, and it didn't fall apart, but it was just unpleasant. You know what I'm saying? Where you know we were seeing different people, and it wasn't unpleasant for me, but seeing her reaction towards me, you know, just letting things go was kind of unpleasant because I'm
right.
that type of person. If it doesn't work out, I know how to let it go. but not
well,
everybody
Shay, let me ask
like
you,
that.
Have you been through something like that, Shay, or anything like that? Have you experienced anything like that?
You mean as far as
being at work and having somebody all up in your damn face and shit?
Make some business with pleasure. Absolutely.
Right.
I've been there, done that. We'll never do that shit again because,
right.
Number one, it makes things difficult because in the beginning, you know, two people can agree to do things a certain way, but, you know, if you're sleeping together and you're working together, eventually the waters are going to get muddy. You know, emotions are going to come into play whether each of you want it to or not, whether you fight it. One person may get more vested in the relationship, and then the business part starts to fall apart. And then especially when you have to work with this person and you're seeing them, like DB said, and you're seeing them, and if you fall out, you got to see them every single damn day, and it just makes for an awkward situation.
Yeah,
right.
Then you try
to
avoid them. You see them more.
You're trying to go to the damn... You trying to go to the damn break room and shit, and them motherfuckers hanging there and see who you going to the break room with and shit.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I had the experience of, okay, I'm going down the elevator to the bathroom, and he's, okay, well, you avoid me, you ain't talking to me, and I'm trying to separate, like Cotton said, well, I'm at work. We don't need to talk about this at work. Wait until we leave. Call me when I get home. I don't want to talk about this in my place of business. I don't want to do that. And I see
right.
that. And I don't know if this is going to raise a few hairs with the men or whatever, but nowadays I think that a lot more men are, because I think they've had women pegged wrong all along, that we are too emotionally vested in things when that could be further from the truth. And sometimes a lot of us women are not as emotionally invested as the men are.
Yeah, it sounds like that. What we was talking about last week about thirsty and what was the other top subject, thirsty and something. What was the other... DV, somebody's
man,
thirsty. Women are thirsty, and a man or some shit they had titles for. Anyway, yeah, it's amazing.
This is the thing. Everybody comes into relationship with this illusion. Like men, you know, women think that men are going to be hard, super strong, you know, stubborn individuals, and men think that women are going to be these soft, demure, you know, whatever you say, baby types. And then when none of those happens, the men are left like, whoa, she just left me and she ain't even bat an eyelash. She ain't, no, there's something wrong. You know, she's probably seeing somebody. Their ego is attacked. You know, because
right.
all of a sudden, it can't be their fault that this woman is hard. It clearly she was with somebody else or doing something else while we was together. So they have
we
to
don't
find
wanna, we
out.
Don't have that. We don't have that call me deal, you know, like in Boomerang.
Right.
I love that when Eddie Murphy was left in the bed and she got up and left.
Oh,
and she
yeah,
was a man doing that
on.
Thing. Yeah, you know, call me. It was a female version of him, and he's like, oh. You know, it just reversed. Right.
But
so I
like I said, you know, whenever these stereotypes aren't met, all of a sudden, especially men, tend to look at things like, whoa, you know, what the hell is going on? It couldn't have been me. You know, she must have been with somebody else, doing something else, you know, invested
right.
somewhere else. And all of a sudden, there's
right.
a problem.
But my thing is, when you do that kind of thing, even though your intent is not to, you know, get all deep with this person, to me, when you do that to some men, it makes them try to come at you even more. And you wonder why they're coming at you. You're trying to get rid of them, but hell, it's drawing the ass. When you was being needy and stuff, it runs them away sometimes, most of the time. It will run them away if that's not what they're looking for. But when it's the opposite, it just, like you said, men are more, yeah, emotion comes out more when it's the opposite. It's like, what the hell did I do wrong? I got to see what I did wrong. I got to find out, you know.
What they're really saying is it wasn't my fault. You know, she must have been doing something else, you know, doing
right,
somebody else.
Right.
You know, it couldn't have been
right.
me.
Yeah, I wouldn't fucked up. My dick is long enough or whatever, you know, whatever they got to tell themselves, you know. Yeah, whatever they got to tell themselves. But anyway, so Monica, are you, I don't want to rush you away, but I know you got to go. So are you preparing to do that or are you sticking around a little longer or what?
Yeah, I got to get out of here. But one thing that you all made me think of is that not only can relationships affect business relationships, but also, and I wrote a chapter about this in my new book, when love is the biggest distraction to handling business.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Years, I would let my relationships consume me to the point where I wasn't focusing on my finances and handling my business. And you have to find that balance or put love second if you can't find that balance.
Or end up writing a financial book like you did.
Yeah.
You know, you're right there, buddy. I want to thank you so much for coming, Monica. Please come back whenever you feel like it. You know you're welcome. Don't make it 3 years again, okay? Come back on the show, talk to me, whatever. If you got something new coming out, just let us know and you can pop in. You know, it's not a problem, okay? So we're glad to have you and the time you spend with us this evening.
Yes, thanks for having me. Everybody have a wonderful evening.
But before you go, though, give one more shout-out on how they can get your books and how they can get you one time.
Well, you can visit my website at www.monicamariejones.com, and you can also find all my books on Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com. Just Google Monica Marie Jones, and you will find me, all types of fun video interviews, radio interviews, pictures and everything, MonicaMarieJones.com.
And a new book with the Illuminati on the front. Okay, all right.
Yes,
okay.
Download it. It just came out on the 31st, so everybody get your copy. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
So, So, now what we're going to do is we're going to continue with the subject. So, Cotton, did you want to expand on that a little bit more? Because was there a situation that you wanted to bring into this or give us a scenario as far as the business side of it? Because that's what you really wanted to speak on.
Well, I was just trying to clarity or some opinions from everyone else on what do you think?
I think.
Okay, she faded. Did you hear her? She kind of faded out. I thought. Okay, go ahead.
No, I think business relationships tend to be bad because it's very. Cotton?
Yeah, she'll be back. Okay, go ahead.
Business relationships they very rarely end well. And you end up sacrificing a perfectly good business relationship for personal feelings, and personal feelings tend to be temporary. You know, business relationships can basically make or break you. You can have the world's greatest idea and be emotionally invested in your co-partner, and all of a sudden, you know, you got the world's best idea, but you guys can't agree on anything all of a sudden. So you take the best idea ever, and it's now crap because now, you know, he's mad, you're mad. You know, very rarely do business relationships that are intimate relationships either end up good or continue being good.
Right.
It's very difficult to maintain both.
Right. Well, let me see real quick, for those that want to get into this conversation, number 347-215-8539, this is Word 60 Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and right now there's a call. I don't know if you have something to say, but don't hang up. I'm going to see your 913-956. State your name and where you're calling from.
See this?
You don't have
baby?
Say your name again, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
say your name again. Okay, so did you have a question or a comment? Okay, Okay, all right. So I'm going to close out. Cotton dropped again. She'll be back. Okay, so we have Melanie now. Melanie is here as well. So how are you doing this evening, Melanie?
All right, everybody. I'm feeling good. Thank you.
Are you feeling okay?
Yes.
Well. Well, guess what? We have Ms. Shay Nolan here. Monica Marie Jones was here and she left, but we now have Ms. Shay Nolan here, and we're trying to talk the subject right now is business relationships. Are they worthy or not worthy to have when you're trying to get something going and you're having sex with the person or whatever you're doing? Does it work? So you're here now, so let's get your opinion.
Oh, you're saying business relationships that are intimate?
Well, they don't have to be intimate, but it doesn't work.
Do they work on an intimate level?
Well, yeah, let's go with that because that's what we're really talking about.
Okay, so the question is, do business relationships that are intimate typically work out?
Right.
Can it?
I think anything can work. I think that maybe some of it depends on the relationship before the business part of it started, Were you friends before or after the business started? Did you start sleeping together after the business was established? I mean, I think there's a lot of variables, but ultimately, I think it comes down to the maturation level of the people involved. And, you know, I guess it goes back to communication. If you know that, you know, if one person thinks this is leading somewhere, like you say, it'll spill over. Because that partner, that person you're working with will be bitter if things don't turn out the way they want. And,
does it matter what type of business it is?
That's a good question. I think.
Yeah.
I think it does. I think it matters, but I think the relationship between the people involved matters more. That's what I think. I think, you know, people do things and they have fun with things and, you know, like I say, if you're not talking to this person because you don't want to mess up a good thing or, you maybe want to change the status of a relationship once you start sleeping with them or, you know, you want to try to position yourself where you get more money or you get more opportunity. I mean, sometimes business relationships become sexual because the person's trying to get exposure. I mean, there's just so many variables that you can that you can take and run with, but ultimately, I think it just depends on the maturation of the people involved. I think anything can work.
Wow.
But I don't know.
I guess it could. It just depends. Like you said, no, who was getting ready to speak?
That was me, DB.
Oh, damn. You sounded like a woman there for a second. Okay,
that wasn't me there.
I've always said
that, you know, somebody asked me, can men and women be friends? And I've always stated that, yes, men and women can be friends just as long as their friendship is aided by little physical antipathy. Basically, I feel like this. It is much harder to run like an out-of-home business with somebody of the opposite sex simply because, you know, it requires that intimacy. Business relationships require kind of like the same intimacy that personal relationships require. The constant maintenance, constant talking, constant, you know, you guys always have to be constantly supporting each other. And when it works, it's magical because you think, hey, we've got this business relationship working. The personal one could be the exact same thing. So it's easy to fall into that trap. And because we all know that business relationships typically require the same type of maintenance that personal ones do. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
Don't necessarily have to be friends, but you have to be focused on the same goal. You have to have be focused on that exact same goal. So, I mean, is it possible? Everything is possible. Just about everything is possible. Should it be done? No. Because the same things that put you, you know, just like a personal relationship, the same things that you benefit from are the same things that you lose. You know, if you're in a business partnership together, guess what? If one of you decides to go and leave, you cannot maintain that name of the business. You know, you have to go through legal documents. You have to change the name of the business. And the business has to be dissolved because if one partner decides they don't want to do it, you know, the law says you can't maintain it. Can't maintain the business that way. So there are a lot of legal aspects that also go into, you know, the personal roles. So, like I said, do I think it's a good idea? No, because the negatives far outweigh the positives.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess the mom and pop stores that they used to have back in the day with mom and dad working in there, that shit just didn't work too well. Or they had to make
it
happen some kind of way.
I think when
it works when they're already married.
I think it works when you're married because you're vested emotionally in this person already. You know, if you're solid foundation. You know, then the business is just it's an enhancement. But if you talk about building from the ground up, you know, and getting messy relationships with friends and trying to take advantage of your, you know, exposure or whatever you tend to be doing, opportunities sexually, yes, it can get messy. And then you've divulged strategy with this person, you've got financial investments with this person, and they could burn you.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
I mean,
they could.
And bankrupt.
It can potentially be awful if you are getting into business with somebody that you maybe just need to be sleeping with and not doing business with. or you need to, like DV said, dissolve the company if you feel like you cannot run the company and be in love with or have sex with this person. You need to take the financial stake away from them, or you need to absolve yourself of financial responsibility so that you don't get burned if things don't work out.
Shay, you have been quiet this evening. Except for the interview.
I thought she dropped.
I just think it really depends on the person or the person's maturity level. I mean, like DB said, anything's possible. It just depends on how much the two people that are involved, regardless of whether they're involved sexually or whatever in the business, if it's the business that they want that badly, they have to put aside their personal feelings and focus on that business. So, you know, it just depends on how hard they want to work for that business, how much they want to keep that business versus, okay, if we're not together, we're not sleeping together anymore, then boom, there goes the business. It just depends on how mature these people are when they're going into this. They have to really know what it is they want.
Yeah, I would hope that all that doesn't detail that, but, yeah, people use that as a tool. I understand where you're coming from with that, is using that as a tool to get back at someone because they're not now with you anymore or whatever, or they were sleeping around and or whatever the case. But
right.
The thing is, yeah, go ahead.
Like I said, plain and simple, it's just about maturity level. That's that point blank period. You know, you have to be mature enough to accept it. You know what you're getting into when you step across that line. You already know. You know the facts, you know the pros and cons, so you make a conscious choice to do it. So you need to be mature enough to say, okay, if this doesn't work, that doesn't mean my business or our business goes to shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The surest way to get it to go to shit is to break up, you know, with your partner. You know what I'm saying? That is the quickest way, you know. Like, they say that, arguably 50% of marriages end in divorce. Then just add your likelihood into that mix. So 50% of marriages already in a divorce, you know, and you're not even in a marriage. You're just in a business relationship, and you're having sex with your co-partner. And this is both of you likely, you know, this is how y'all make your money, the likelihood. The stress, you know, must be astronomical, you know, to make it, to want it to succeed. But, the same passion that you carry into making that business succeed, you know, you want to bring to the other person, and it's just not a good idea. It never is a good idea.
So, Cotton, the question came from you, as always. You bring great subject matter. Have you ever been in this situation, or you just came up, are you seeing someone going through this, or how did you come up with this?
This is sad.
Cotton?
I'm sorry, because you said, I don't know what you just said.
Yay, welcome back.
I said, you always come up with great subject matter, and I was just saying, what prompts you to come to this? Have you went through something like this, or going through something like this, or you know someone who has felt this, or it was just a question that you just wanted to kind of ponder on?
It was actually a two-part thing, because there are a lot of people, as you've heard me say, you know, I don't know if people have heard me say, there are a lot of people, especially the females that I've dealt with as far as business is concerned, they don't handle their business properly, you know. And so I have a problem when people don't handle their business properly, whether it be, but then I thought about the many people that have had relationships where it crossed over. Me personally, briefly, before I married my ex-husband, he and I helped him with his business. I was the administrative assistant in his business. And he was, at the time, still seeing other women. But I never allowed it to cross over into our personal, and neither did he. So I know that it can be done. It's just DV said, I think it was DV that said it earlier, just a few minutes ago, you got to be mature enough, or maybe it was another.
That was Melody.
You got to be mature enough to say, you know, where are the guidelines here, and what are we going to allow in? What's more important to us?
So
it's one thing to set guidelines. It's an entirely different thing to follow them.
So when this was happening with you, was y'all already broke up and he was seeing some other people, or was this going on while y'all was together? Or what?
No.
Like?
No, we weren't.
knowing you, it wasn't happening while you were with him, but I mean, it sounded like
no,
that.
No,
for a second,
no, before,
I just want to make sure your ass was done. Okay.
No, 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 no. Actually, he's somebody that I've known since I was a young girl, and unfortunately, at the time that this was going on, I was pregnant with our child. So, but
okay,
no matter how I felt, the business had to come first because this was his business.
Your
technically,
livelihood.
I was just,
right.
You know, but when I was ready to walk away, I just walked away. You know, I still didn't let my personal interfere with his business.
Okay, when you was pregnant, were y'all still married or y'all hadn't got married yet or what? I mean,
no,
we
hadn't gotten married yet.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, because that wouldn't have happened. Yeah, I wouldn't
have been that gracious. Yeah, I was like, is that thirsty? And what's that other term? I can't remember what the other one was. Thirsty and what's the dude supposed to be? What is that called? Greedy or something? What were we talking about last week?
Thirsty.
Yeah, but what was the guy? The women supposed to be thirsty and the guy supposed to be what?
They were thirsty too. They were calling the men thirsty.
Okay. All right, well, so you said there was another piece to that. So what is the other piece to that question?
Well, the other part was, like, how do you feel? Because we're all in the same area of doing business as far as writing books, and I know you've dealt with some people who don't do good business. What do you suggest somebody does when they're dealing with somebody who doesn't do good business? Because we know how we handle it on different levels of depending on where we're at. It whether be at McDonald's or whatever, but in this genre, because we are spending out a lot of money to do certain things, what would you say about somebody who doesn't handle their business properly?
I definitely have an opinion, and I know DV does, but before we do that, there's a 913 number. I would like to see if they have a question, and please, if you don't, please do not hang up. 210 is the first three. State your name and where you're calling from. No question. No comment. All right. Okay, so we're going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so who wants to answer that? You want me to start with that? How do you handle someone? Okay, we'll state the question again. Is how do you handle your situation in a business
mm-hmm.
manner where you keep it, try to keep it that way?
Right.
Well, I'm learning because even though I'm as old as I am, I have still had to learn that you cannot, you know, even though you might want to do it, if the other person is strong enough, they're going to make sure you don't. And then eventually you'll either accept it or you're going to just, you know, and go for it, or you're just going to have to get away from it. I have learned in my journey that friendship is more important than anything else. And then the relationship as far as work ethic and all that is more important, so you can't let the sex part, even though you don't want it to not be, you know, you want it to be involved, you have to let that just go and enjoy what you have as far as the relationship that you have in business matter or whatever that is, the friendship or whatever. You have to continue on and, you know, you have that choice. It's like in anything else. You can either choose to continue to go or you can just say, no, I just can't work with them no more because I want to fuck them and I can't. And I'm using those words. But anyway. I want to be with them, and I can't, so I can't work with them. I think I'm a little stronger than that. I think I'm a little wiser than that. So I have come to the point where, okay, I can't get me, then I'll just pull back, and I'll be man enough to go forth. That doesn't mean I'm not going to still admire you and think you're beautiful. That doesn't mean I'm not going to say things to you like, you know, you look good today, or, you know, you're very beautiful, or whatever, but I won't go beyond that. Because I never believe in forcing myself on anyone, and I won't. So if it's made known to me that they don't want to cross that line, then I will not do that. Now, DV, what do you got to say?
When it comes to business, you can't force somebody to be something that they're not. And we all know that when it comes to business, you have to find somebody who compliments you. And in other words, you have to find somebody who does not share the same weaknesses as you do. All right. So, in essence, if I have weaknesses, those are their strengths, and then their weaknesses, those are my strengths. So we basically complement each other. But if I can't force them to be, you know, strong in the area that I'm weak, it just doesn't work. So ultimately, if you're going to be with a business partner, especially somebody of the opposite sex, you know, you have to think in a business mindset first. Does this person have strengths where I have weaknesses? If you both share the same weaknesses, the business will fail. If you both share the same strengths, that's great, but one of you will have to be that type of person that says, look, I'll take a step back so that they can exercise their strength so that we're not bumping heads. Because if you're bumping heads constantly, the business will fail. So it, there's an ebb and flow to everything. And as a business-minded person, you have to know when to step up and when to step back.
So what if the person that you're dealing with has more money and they're using their power and money to get you?
Well, then
do
you don't need
things.
Business partners like that, because if they say, well, business partnerships, unlike real relationships, are strictly 50-50. So,
but it doesn't have to be.
Law,
I'm not talking. But we were talking about relationships, business relationship,
right.
Not partnership. So
doesn't
in this
matter.
Scenario,
no. I'm
alluding
to that.
Okay.
You know, whenever you're in a business relationship, it is 50-50. Period. If the business is dissolved, you get 50% of the assets or debt. They get 50% of the assets or the debt. So ultimately, even if they put in $10,000 and you put in $1,000, you are still 50-50 partners. Guess what? We both have $11,000.
But what I'm
so
saying is, say you want to work for this, you work for Trump, and Trump wants to fuck with your girl or whoever, and she's working for him, and that's her livelihood. If she don't do this shit or whatever, she has to make a choice. I'm talking about something like that now. Business relationship.
You mean
a
decent
not
proposal?
Not necessarily. Well, that kind of thing, yeah.
You, I mean, let's be realistic. You know.
Well, I am being realistic because this does happen every day.
How often does that
it's
happen
just not,
in real
it's just,
life?
It's just, I'm not talking about where I'm the boss and I want to fuck your wife. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about you are an employee and there's a woman that is the CEO of the company and she likes you, DV, and she's telling you on the side, you know, let's do this. I want to get with you. And then you say, no, I can't because I want to keep your business. Well, if you don't want to do this, then I'm going to, you know, do this and this, or I'll make it this way or whatever. What are you going to do?
Leave.
Oh, yeah, that whole. Mm.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. Because at some point, she's going to scream sexual harassment, or I'm going to scream sexual harassment.
And she might say that to get you to do it. And
in
most cases, men usually don't do it, right? Now, there was a movie, we know there was a movie that came out with Demi Moore and all that. But anyway, I'm saying most men don't cry it because they think that's being a punk. Somebody trying to get some pussy and shit, you know.
If I were younger, I'd beat that pussy up. You know, I'm like, all right, let's do this. All right. But
what's age got to do with it?
No, but what I'm saying is, as I'm older, it's a question of morals and pride. I'm not going to let somebody else dictate to me who, how, and when I'm to have sex, especially not somebody who has some authority over me. I'm just not going to do
it. So what about
it, and it's a matter
okay?
Of pride.
So let me, I'm gonna throw some more stuff in. The job you got, you need it right now. It's paying you what you got to take care of certain things. You got to drop all of that because you don't want to fuck.
You know what? It comes down to, I can answer that, and I'm going to answer honestly. Would I give up my job for, now, do I want to screw this woman or do I not want to screw this woman?
Well,
apparently you don't.
If you're saying you don't want her to get in the middle, even though you might be attracted to her, you're saying you don't want that relationship to turn intimate because you want to stay at business, does it really matter if you want to or not? You have to make a decision on whether you want to do it.
If I had planned on doing it anyway, then, you know, I'm going to do it. But if I have no inclination towards this woman,
She came to you. She came to you with it. So you wasn't thinking about it.
No, because the thing is, as her subordinate, I'm not going to walk up to her and be like, you fine. What a fat ass you got. Can we sleep together?
Some motherfuckers will do that shit. I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe at McDonald's, but not in no business. You know what I'm saying?
Look, man.
You don't walk up to the CEO of your
there.
Company and be like, girl, you fine as shit. We should do this.
It depends on how she is as a person.
Look.
Now, walk up and tell her she got a big ass, but you might be able to say, there's some feedback somewhere. You might be able to say, you know, I think you're a very attractive woman. I mean, there's ways to do it, DB.
Right. There's ways of doing it. But let's be honest. If a woman is if a woman pursues me, all right, if she's if she comes up to me and says, we need to sleep together, I'm not going to do it. If she's pursuing me and I can see that there's, it's pursuing, you know what I'm saying? I don't care if you want to call it, you know, just chasing after me, I don't want to, or wooing me, or whatever you want to call it. If that's the case, then there's a chance. But if she's telling me either I got to bang her brains out or leave my job, it's obvious. I don't need to be here.
DV, your bills, man. You got shit that you got to take care of.
Everybody says that. And, you know, it's just like when people walk up to you and say, oh, you know, like, and I heard this a lot, you know, when people tell you you're lucky to have a job. And it's not that. It's not that you're lucky to have a job. It's the job is lucky to have you. And that's the way it's supposed to work. If you're busting your ass and you're doing what you're supposed to do, there's always somebody taking notice of you and the things
that's
that you
do. That's true. So let's go in the real world. Because that's bullshit. But anyway,
that's fact.
I'm fucking with you. But anyway, okay. So you would not do nothing. Okay. So what about the ladies? What if a guy comes to you? You kind of attracted to him, but you know you can't mess with him because you know you want to keep your job, you want to do what's right, and all of that. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes to you, and he decides that he wants to say something to you, and he is of power and can get you forward in what you need to do. What do you do? Do you sleep with him or you don't?
I think that basically it comes down to an integrity issue and what my morals would be, and I don't see or justify laying on my back to get to the top as a way to get there. I'd rather scratch, struggle, and fight to get to the top than have my superior come to me and say, hey, your ass is fat. I want to make love to you. I want to have sex with you, and I can put you in this position, in this position. I'd rather get it the right way. So I would probably be like, you know, you fine, you sexy, there's attraction there, but if I got to get it like that, I don't want it.
So it's an integrity thing.
Absolutely.
I think the fact that there's a freeway to promotions that include screwing your boss, the whole fact that that system exists. For women, you know, it's a control issue, and even men, it's control, and it's messed up. It's really messed up because you, after a while, you know the people by their lack of business savvy or the fact that they're completely incompetent. You know who got where doing what.
Absolutely.
Some people brag about it, so you carry that home. And you have
you can
to
tell
have
when a motherfucker fucked their way up to the top. You can tell somebody fucked their way up to the top. Is
yeah,
it because they're dumb and shit and don't know the
job? Some people.
Is it because they're dumb and don't know the job and they there?
Is
that it? How do you tell?
The fact that they coming to you to help
you to help them do their job
is a key indicator that they don't belong where they are.
Absolutely.
And sometimes
you're saying the guy who owns the company, he's coming to you and saying he wants some pussy from you. He didn't fuck his way up. He was already there. He got the money.
Yeah, but if he turned your ass from the assistant to VP, then you know what it is.
Right.
But it ain't going to go that quick. It's not going to jump up just like that.
Oh, of course. But what I'm saying is it never goes that quick.
You know, yeah. But it goes. You give in to the dude only to find out that he married, only to find out that, you know,
that
he
everybody
got herpes, or only to find
right.
out that everybody, you know, people now know because he's bragging about you, or he's got certain control now over affairs over you. Now you're at his whim. It's about control. It always is in situations where
you're
going to leverage somebody's job.
But you got to worry about
the person behind you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you didn't get that job on merit, then you always got to worry about the next person he banging who's going to take your job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who's going to take your spot? Who's going to take your place?
You become disposable.
I think if you talking about just taking advantage of an attraction of a man who just happens to be very high level, you know, in the power structure of your job, that is one thing. Typically, they do that, and you're right, these women, you know, get money or they get bills paid or they get trips. I mean, sometimes it's just a monetary compensation, and it has anything to do with the promotion because the company means too much to them to put some person, you know, in a place they don't belong.
So if you're talking about taking advantage and just, you know, like a woman would, a celebrity or a superstar in a sense, and just trying to get what she can get or what he can get, then, I mean, that's just a totally different beast. If you're talking about sex as a means to, you know, be upperly mobile, you know what
but
I mean?
How is that different,
attraction
though?
Aside,
you just
want
to be with this person.
Different.
You like this person. They
well,
like
then that's
you.
That's different. That's
you're
different.
Not trying to get a promotion, but they in a position to do that for you. You fuck, and y'all's good, and whatever,
know.
Y'all,
I,
and they decide to let you go forth.
So wait,
and they
Riz,
give you
would you do it? If a woman who
it,
was your direct supervisor.
Not earning that promotion,
you know,
though, Rick.
Right. I've
you're
had,
earning it.
I've had, and I don't know, I'm not in that position now, but I've had dreams of that kind of shit where the colonel was a female, and I was like, God damn it, this motherfucker is fine. I wish she would let me, you know.
But let's take it one step
further.
When I do
it, suppose I
don't you were back
know,
in the military.
The boss I'm with now is a woman. It's a woman that's over the whole department. If she came to me and said, I hired you because I wanted to get with you. You got hired because I liked your ass, and now's the time for me to talk to you. What are we going to do? You know, you're going to have to do something, or she ain't going to get promoted. I don't know what I would do. I probably, if she looked good, I might go want to hit
yeah,
it anyway.
Yeah.
It just depends on what I feel.
Suppose she was 450. But suppose she was
450
pounds, and she
oh,
told
yeah,
you
like,
it was
yeah,
her job
man.
Or your ass.
450
and she
pounds.
She said it's your job
it,
or your ass. What decision
then
did
I
you make?
Fuck her big fat ass.
So you basically you say you give up the ass.
I'm fucking big fat ass. No, this way I don't know what I would do.
Chair section anyway. He just looking
no,
for
no,
it
no,
anyway.
No, because I don't want y'all to think I'll screw anything because I won't. But if it was
yeah,
Melanie
uh-huh.
or something like that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, let's go. I don't know. I don't know what I would do because I've never been in that position. But you kind of tell when people, you know, and I understand what you mean. You say you look at people, you can tell they screwed their way to the top. Maybe you can. If they stupid and don't know what they're doing and shit, maybe they did fuck their way up. Or I don't know. It just depends.
Sometimes it's a plethora. Sometimes it's just discrimination. Sometimes it's nepotism. Sometimes it's sexual. You know, I mean, the fact that it's there and the fact that people can exert that type of power over other people who work just as hard as them, that's a screwed
up
part.
We can change it up. What if it's a situation where there's a black supervisor and all the blacks are getting promoted and the whites aren't, and it's not, and it's obvious.
I think that's what
that's
I'm
still
saying.
A business rate. That's still well, a business
what?
Relationship.
And I'm
going to
tell you
sexual.
Why, because you're not promoting them based on merit.
About it? But
you're
you
not
don't
promoting
know that.
It. Yeah,
right.
But what I'm saying is, if it's only the black, if it's only black people being promoted, and they're white,
and they're white
know,
that are in
care.
Line, and these are white
is,
saying,
oh,
I'm not, she don't know what she's doing.
If you're promoted based on who you are rather than what you know, then I think that's wrong. Period. I don't care if it's
nepotism,
sexuality,
I don't
care if it's race. I don't care if it's gender. If you're getting promoted based on who you know rather than what you know, that's wrong. Period.
Well, of course.
Okay.
But it happens.
But what I'm saying is,
what if all the whites was getting promoted and no blacks were getting promoted, but they were better
qualified?
Well,
that
happens all the time.
That happens all the time.
But
we can all give examples of people who don't need to be doing what they're doing, but doing it because of who they know or the fact they're just white. And the person doing the choosing don't want nobody black in power. That is a rinse
and
repeat. So
and you're right.
We know the bias
really,
is there.
You brought the
we
Jetsons?
Know that the bias
you got
is there.
The Jetsons regular?
Yeah, I got the Jetsons. Yeah, I got them. I've been
the fact
time,
that I
but
knew
I've been
that
anyway,
scares the hell out of me.
It does, doesn't it? But, you know, it's what it is. But back to what Melanie is saying, you're right. So you don't think that's wrong? If all the blacks got promoted and the whites didn't and they complained that it looks like it, but we can't prove it, but the supervisor's black. I know she don't know the job, but she got promoted to a position. How the hell she get that job and then all everybody else
that's
around me is
like,
black and getting promoted?
But you know what? That it works backwards in a sense that we are conditioned to feel like some white person somewhere has to be qualified. Sometimes they're just not qualified, and that's the same argument
no,
that they use on us.
There's a difference between uniformity and knowledge. All right, if there's a white person in
there's
that company, even if they are the one white person there, and
yeah,
there's somebody promoted over them simply because they're white, that's wrong. But it doesn't make it right. The
so
thing is, you try to justify
it
because it happened elsewhere, but it ain't right.
It's not right.
I think when you talk about promotion in the workplace, just like college admissions and everything else, you know, unfortunately, we will be arguing about this at the end of time about how much race and culture plays a factor, and we will. And it's always going to be a story. It's always going to be
because,
you know,
man, me
a
and
Melody
always
you know,
talking
it,
about race. Always, every time we get on. Oh, really, man?
It just happened to come on. I didn't mean to do it.
That
it
is
just
so damn
happened.
Catchy. I'm about to jack that. I'm going to have my phone.
Exactly. Put it on your phone. Put it on your phone so when somebody rings when they call you.
Now, I'm going to just have mine yell at Wilma.
Wilma, I hear you. Yeah. But you say it's wrong, and Melody is, I'm thinking she's saying it's okay. That it's all right to promote that. Melody uses every type of justification
as to why it should happen. Well, they do it wrong here. It doesn't make it. The thing is,
it doesn't make it right elsewhere. That's not true about me.
It is. That's not true.
What I'm saying to you is that if you can prove that the people who were promoted happen to be black and qualified over the white people, I obviously have no problem.
Oh, okay.
With that.
So if I walk into a business and they promoted the janitor before they promoted the guy that had been working there 15 years, I'm supposed to be like, oh, okay, that's perfectly acceptable.
If the janitor has
they're like, janitor is the last black person we ain't promoted. So we're going to promote janitor.
No, obviously there's something wrong with that. Come on now. Now you're just making fun of me. There's obviously something
wrong. Janitor, we're going to make you VP of sales. White dude, we're going to make you a sales rep.
But history tells a different story. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about it. We could say what if, but we all have lived one reality over the other. And so that's why I said, you know, sometimes we're conditioned to believe, oh, my gosh, if there's too many black people in leadership positions, it must be a problem. Somebody somewhere must be
If they are qualified, then that's even better. But if they're there just because they're black, that doesn't make for a good business model.
And it's very hard to prove based on that business model. Well, that's one thing. Well, time will tell how qualified these people are. But my point is, I'm not going to second guess that situation just because there's nobody white in authority. That's crazy.
I'm going to say this. Well, one of them got promoted, stayed long enough so they can retire with that grade, and they moved on. So what does that mean? They decided to get something retired with a higher amount of money. It's not race. We're still talking business relationships.
Okay.
Nobody said it had to be black or white. It's just a business relationship, right?
All right. This is true. This is true.
Yeah. So, you know, it just depends, you know. I think that the sexual part of that, you know, when you add sex to it, it's wrong. But some people do it anyway. And when it's money or whatever the case, whatever's going on, it's just not correct. But for me, I just hope that she don't look good. That's all I got to say. Don't be somebody that I want anyway.
Terrible man.
Because I'll be fucked up. I'm just being honest.
Don't let it be somebody, but also say you hope she's not a stalker, because just because she's cute and you sleep with her don't mean she's going to leave you alone when she's
absolutely.
Young.
Absolutely. She ain't crazy.
You know what? Let's take it even further. If she's got the power and she's using her power like that, you know she's a stalker. You know she's going to watch and make sure you don't do nothing else. So you're really taking a damn chance big time because
she married and her dude is crazy? What does she got to make that in?
What if you don't fuck her right? She might
still
be
lost her job. Guess what? You are the fool. Your ass is jobless.
Wow.
You know what I'm
saying?
Just like that.
You know, DV wrote a short story about that for Anthology, and I have to dig it up because it talked about that there. And I don't think I'm gonna have to put that in a digital compilation or something because it. I think I was saving it for business affairs. I was going to put out an anthology about business relationships, exactly about the stuff we're talking about tonight, about how complex and complicated it is. It can become when you add sex. And I think DV had a pretty good short story about about how complicated sex can be in a business.
I would love to be part of that if y'all decided to do it.
You know, that's probably the most viable because I have my one mood ring, but you know, I actually still am looking for the submission that I was supposed to get ever ago. But business affairs, I think, is definitely viable, and I think it's a little bit, you know, more fun people can write about. So I'll probably post something and take some submissions and put that out, Kendall. That'll be fun. That'll definitely be fun. Because then you can explore all markets. You can explore race. You can explore class. You can explore desperation. You can basically do whatever you want.
You can, thirsty.
Yeah,
whatever.
You can play with a lot of it. Everything. So...
Because I thought that was interesting last week when y'all was talking about that shit Thursday. So Shay, let's get back to Shay real quick. She's a guest. We kind of smothered you there. I'm sorry, Shay.
I'm okay.
You know, you were just back there listening and shit. And Shay is from Kansas. Just in case y'all didn't know, Shay is from Kansas City. She's here. So,
I was just taking, you know, all the conversations and different perspectives, you know. I guess my voice is so soft, they tell me that at work that I talk too softly, so when I try to get in, it's like everybody else is roaring and I'm just squeaking like, hey, I'm right here, so, you know.
Do you have an opinion or a comment real quick? Because we got like 20 minutes, so you got time if you want to comment.
I kind of want to, you know, segue into, I know you said there was a topic that maybe one of the listeners had
open
put out there about open relationships. We didn't
yes,
really touch
I put
on
it on, that was me.
Yes, out there. Go ahead. Talk about it.
I
just want to know what your definition of open is, because, see, everybody's definition of open relationship is different. To me, open
that's
is true. You fucking who you want to and shit. And as long as you ain't bringing no shit to the crib, I mean, you ain't bringing nothing to that person that you're doing. You know,
that's
sexually. I mean,
open relationship. I mean,
or you can bring somebody in. Hey, let's do this together. Right. So go ahead. What you got to say on that?
I think people need to really think carefully when they say yes, let's have an open relationship, because there's a difference between let's have an open relationship and date other people, and we just fuck each other, or let's have an open relationship and then you fuck me and anybody you want to. But that, I think that actually is a dangerous type of open relationship, because then you don't know what somebody's bringing back to you, how safe, how careful they are with the people that they're sleeping with. So they kind of, I think that's a little more risque.
Yeah, you'd be like Michael Douglas talking about he got fucking VD and or got cancer from eating pussy and shit, you know.
Throat cancer.
Really?
And then they talking about his wife's pussy was nasty and shit, so I don't know.
Wow.
Okay, so if he's not fucking around and he got this shit from eating pussy, then it had to be from his wife. If he was supposed to be, you know, I kind
of
changed it a little bit, but we're going
First
back to what
all,
she was talking about.
Biology, but there's just no way. Like, that just,
it's impossible.
That's just so ridiculous. Just so ridiculous. Of it. I can't believe they gave that man a story talking that mess. There's no way you can get throat cancer. Like, do people understand how cancer works? It is not as simple as
right.
Not see,
not
that's not a wise
not
thing.
As
you know, like,
viral.
Like if you were like,
viral,
got,
right?
Yeah,
it's
but see,
is it viral? Is it viral?
If you
no, it is not.
Viruses.
That's just like Michael Douglas said. I went blind because I was masturbating when I was 16. Like,
yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm blind now.
But see, a virus.
Done it.
Cancer's now a viral disease, right? You can't get that from
sneezing
on somebody, right?
No, it happens on the cellular level.
Okay, so how the hell he going to say he got that shit?
Because he talking out his ass.
I got throat cancer. I mean, come on.
And that
it doesn't make any sense.
That just, it speaks to the fact that he's not willing to just accept his own reality. The fact that you would even drum up some crazy mess like that and be serious about it. The fact that you were really, without doing any research or asking anybody with all that money you have, the fact that you were really, truly say something like that and really believe it or try to make other people believe that you got throat cancer. You know exactly
you know
where
what?
Your throat is in relationship to where your tongue is during oral sex. Do you realize how far apart they are?
That is just.
Yeah, well, what gets me is he put himself out there like, okay, the only thing I get out of that is if he was unfaithful, if he didn't get it from his wife. If he didn't get it from his wife, then where did he get the shit from? Some female out there that he wasn't supposed
you
to be with. So he
cancer is.
Like,
I know
you know
it.
What?
I know it.
Peter
Hughley
said it best. He said Michael
contagious.
Douglas say eating pussy causes cancer. Well, not eating pussy causes divorce. You know, and he said it best.
Right. Right.
You know, ultimately Michael Douglas is old as shit and senile. Don't know what the hell he's talking about. That's just like you know being in a gay bathhouse gives you AIDS. You know,
why the fuck would he even
things.
Say that shit, knowing that that's gonna put it out that he's either fucking around or his wife is nasty.
Either
no,
like what he said,
he
no, his whole thing was that he got HPV a long time ago, and like and it was never taken care of, and ultimately.
Oh, so
that's
now all of a sudden today it just got. All of a sudden today it decided to go. Whoop, I'm ready to come out now.
Yeah.
That doesn't work that way.
But HPV leads to cervical cancer in women, and it
He's
does not
right.
It has not been proven to lead to throat cancer in men.
Yeah, but why even come out with the why even come out with that in anyway? Why even come up with that subject anyway? The
yeah,
motherfucker
because
went through
somebody
the shit.
Was going to take that and run. That's crazy.
That's what they were. So he just went ahead and said, "Okay, whatever." Okay, now back to Shay. I'm sorry. I know we ran way off of what you were talking about.
Okay. Topic
so,
conversation
so, let's come back. Are we okay? Or do we want to come back to with something that you wanted to say? Because we got 16 minutes. Because there was something there that you were getting ready to point on, and I just kind of ran that shit off. I am so sorry.
You know I'm used to you by now, baby. It's okay. It's okay.
You're right. You are that. Anyway. So.
You know what? I don't even remember where I was. I mean, where I was going with it.
I'm good at fucking people up like that. Yeah, I do that shit. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I was probably about to go off on a tangent or a soliloquy or something. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, with open relationships, two people have to really know what definition of that open relationship they want to utilize. Do we want to see other people and just sleep with each other, or do we want to sleep with you, me, he, she, or whoever, and suffer the consequences and be ready for the consequences because we're sleeping with Pam, Sheila, Timmy, and Jamie? Or do we want to just sleep with one another? But I think also if you're sleeping with a person, one person more than you're sleeping with other people, the dynamics will eventually change, and I think that's where jealousy and possessiveness will come into play, even in open relationships. So my thing is why when men bring the subject about of seeing other people, why do they tell a woman, no, I don't want you sleeping with anybody else. I want to sleep with other people. I mean, is that fair?
No, hell no.
Yes.
It
okay,
ain't.
I'm just saying
no,
that
it ain't.
Because
he got to be the devil's advocate. You know, he always got to be the fucking advocate. But anyway, you know it ain't right. Why would I tell you? What's good for the goose is good for the gander is what I've always been told. And if you're going to get out there and fuck around, then why can't she? How are you going
right.
to tell her she can't fuck somebody, but she can fuck everything?
Right. Now, I've never experienced that type of relationship, and I probably never will because I'm selfish as hell. I don't share
that's
anything.
Just,
I didn't even share my toys in the fucking sandbox. So I'm not going to share
that's just
my
like,
man and
right.
I'm sleeping.
And that's just like, you know, being in a threesome, you know. Motherfuckers, somebody's going to get more attention than the other one. It might even be that the two that was doing it that you brought in might decide to be together and drop your ass completely. All of that can happen.
We're talking about, insecurity and fear. Like,
right.
And that's where I always stand by maturation because I feel like there are plenty of open relationships or threesome relationships or 2+1 or whatever you want to call it that are successful, that have you know, not with their rules or boundaries, it's established relationships with rules and that these things.
Melanie,
what I mean is a lot
great.
Of that.
I'm not saying
well, no,
that
I
that's
know,
always going to happen.
But what I mean
there
is
are
a lot
some successful
of that
threesomes.
Stigma, a lot, but nobody talks about it. Because a lot of the
but,
stigma
but the thing
is
somebody's
going to
get more attention than the other, though.
You are trying to protect.
Wait,
well, see,
this is the thing.
That, I don't
whenever
believe
you talk
that
about
that's true at 100% of threesomes.
Nobody
don't
thinks
think so?
About
that's
successful threesomes
no.
because they're successful. You know, it's like, hey,
you
why
think
would
that,
you then want
you think,
to tell
you think
people
everybody's going
to
get the same? You think everybody's going to get the same attention?
But the thing is, you're never going to give, and not trying to put your business out there.
I assume you have done this before. I have. I'm sure you have. So my thing is this. Somebody got more attention than the other person, whether you intended it to be or not. It doesn't mean that you wanted them more, but you might have just felt like you wanted to do more with that because you liked that at that point. You're telling me that that doesn't happen?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm saying.
There is an impossible. You cannot. You can't even give a one person 50%. You know what I'm saying? What makes you think you're going to get two people 50%? Because sometimes
when
you're working in that bedroom, your ass working hard. Are you giving 50%?
That's what I'm saying.
You're giving more than
that. That's what I'm telling
you. What I'm saying is that is in every relationship. You can't automatically attract that, you know, stick that to a threesome relationship or open relationship.
So, Melanie, you give the same attention to both the guys or girl that you're with?
I think the intent. I'm talking about intent. When you talk about intent to enjoy, intent to be pleasurable or give pleasure or everybody, you know, is there for everybody else, then you're not keeping tabs. I'm not going to pull out a clipboard and be like, okay, so we've been doing 69 for 17 minutes, and, you know, they did. I mean, like, most women, especially if you're open enough to do a threesome, is not going to be keeping tabs. You know, those issues that you talk about, I think, dig deeper into the insecurities of the couple. You know, no, I just don't feel like... You talk about paying more attention. You're keeping tabs. You're wondering. You know, your focus is not on enjoying yourself. Your focus is on, you know, stroking your insecurity about even letting this third person be a part of your sexual relationship. And if you
and
have to,
you're
that,
I think you're taking it deeper than what I'm saying.
That's a problem.
Well,
no,
but you're taking it deeper than what I'm saying, though. What I'm saying is I know if I got two women and I'm doing them both, okay. I might like this other one's ass more than the other one, so I might give her a little bit more attention. That's not intentional. It's just that I want to fuck with this one more than the other one. That doesn't mean that I'm, you know, keeping tabs or they're keeping tabs on who I'm doing more of. We're enjoying the pleasure, and I might enjoy the pleasure with that one more than you or you more than her. You see what I'm saying? I'll be down there.
I do, but you're presenting
July,
you're presenting
through the 19th.
As a problem.
We'll talk about this when
this
I get back.
Thing.
Anyway.
I guess we will have to.
You didn't hear what I said, did
you? I heard you.
I said I'm going to be in Texas for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I heard you.
We'll talk about this shit. Anyway. No, go ahead. Go ahead, DB, because you had something you was trying to say.
No, but the thing
is,
just speaking in the context, like I've done, let's say, a few threesomes in my time, but you're speaking in the context of a man who's thinking about himself. Whenever you're,
well, I'm just trying to have fun.
But wait.
Is that what
you're
trying to
doing a threesome, it is inevitability that you're going to spend more time with one than the other. But then you know you supplement that by doing the reverse the next night or the night after or
this
whatever.
This motherfucker always got a scientific fucking answer.
No,
always.
But the thing
got
is, because the thing,
answer.
Because you know what, as a man, if you see two women go at it, you're like, damn, that's hot, but I still want my turn.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good philosophy. I'm going to try that next time. If I get to do two or three threesomes in a week, I'm going to take time with one and take time with the other one and do more or whatever. I'm going to do all that shit. I'm just trying to enjoy the moment. But anyway,
no,
that's great.
But understand this. When it comes to an open relationship, there are, you know, like Melody said, there needs to be rules and boundaries, but it is up to the individuals to determine those rules and boundaries. You know,
but the more I talk
to
Melody, the more I love her.
To me, like, Melody showed me this one thing where this woman got like two husbands, or she got a husband and a boyfriend. And,
right.
You know,
yeah,
but that woman.
It's a business.
You,
it's a business that she runs with her husband, and they each, and this is a black couple, they each have. Like she has what she calls king number one that she has kids with, and then she has a king number two or hubby number two, she calls him, or whatever his name is, and then she goes to see him out of town, and I mean,
yeah,
like, it is what
is
like
the
ultimate free love type situation.
But see, that is her situation.
Good?
But what she does is
wrong,
she advocates. She says, you know, one woman relationships are outdated, antiquated relationships. And that's her thing.
They're not natural.
And see, they're not natural. And that's where we butt heads.
because ultimately I feel that it is the greatest sacrifice ever to be with one person for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? That requires infinite.
I tried, DB. Three times.
But there's nothing wrong with that because not all, guess what? With not every sacrifice is meant to be conquered by every person. There may,
well,
you know, there are people in law school and medical
school
right now.
Thanks for making me feel
good
because I feel good. Thank you. I tried,
remember,
man. I tried to do that shit. I can't quote my motherfucker.
If everything was meant to be done by us, there would be no achievement. There would be nothing for us to say that.
Everybody in the world is listening to me now. They just like dogging the fuck out of me. That motherfucker ain't shit. I know.
I'm telling you, you can.
I ain't shit. That's the reason why I ain't married today.
That has nothing to do with it. Let's be honest, man. You're one of those people who are destined to roam this earth with new pussy every week. That's just who you are.
I just love it. But anyway.
So, I mean, but you have
old
to be
old girlfriends
happy.
Out there, anybody listening, please don't take this offense to this because we're just talking, okay?
But that is who you are, and there's nothing wrong with that because anybody trying to tell you that you need to be with somebody is wrong. You need to be happy, and that's right.
Well, you know, they try to use the Bible and stuff, but then how much is, you know, I'm not saying the Bible's not the word or anything, but then how much of that has man put in it? I mean, Paul even said that some of that stuff he put in himself about the choices of being married. He chooses to be married or not be married, but those who need to should or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Some of that stuff he added on his own. It wasn't really word. You know,
but we all have.
I'm not trying to justify what I do either, because what I do is what I do. I'm not trying to justify that. But what I'm saying is, you know, I did try.
We all have.
And I may try one more time before it's over. Who knows? But the thing is right now, I ain't trying to do all that shit.
Yeah, we all have our crosses to bear. There's something about each and every one of us that falls short of glory. It is
that
what it is, and we
struggle with. And I think that's a part of
being human. Melanie, I love you.
And
Melanie, you are great. You are a great woman. I enjoy all the stuff you say. You are absolutely magnificent, and I've learned so much about you. That's fine.
Man, do not.
I love you too, Cotton. Because Cotton, you always bring great conversation, and that shit is always off the chain. Yes, I love it. You're still there, right? Huh?
Yes, I'm here. I was trying to, Stevie, you said that it's a huge sacrifice to spend the rest of your life with one person. Is that what you said?
It is. It is a major sacrifice, forsaking everything else that everybody tells you you should be doing to be with one person for your entire life.
Okay. It doesn't mean that it's a bad sacrifice. It just means
you deserve to die.
Make your mind up to do that to death. One piece of ass the rest of your life. I mean, you just really got to really love that person and really want to be with them and know that's it.
A major commitment.
That's why I say I'm fucked up.
And not everybody can
do
that.
I'm not there right now. I can't do one ass right now. I'm sure I can eventually if I found the right one. I'm sorry, Cotton. Go ahead. Or whoever said that. Was that you, Melanie?
Yeah, I just said you guys are funny. I said sex is not all there is. And I think it's the whole person. And I think it's society's expectation that men are supposed to want to fuck everybody and everything for the rest of their lives. And that's why being married is a sacrifice.
Like,
if that person was meant for you, then it does not matter whether you sacrifice. You are happy to have found somebody. It's not about sacrifice.
But if I had an NDRE type come up to me right now and you know, her... If she came or Serena Williams or something, I'll try. Until the next one that looked like that come up too, and then I don't know.
When
I'm just saying. Anyway,
if Serena Williams came up there, you'd make it work. You like, girl,
I'll make it work with her too, which I'm gonna play her new song as we go out. But you know, it's just what you got to do. I mean, it's possible. It is possible because I did get married. I did do it, and I did try to be with that person. And when they started fucking up, I started fucking up, or I fucked up, and they didn't, or whatever. I mean, it's just what it is. It happens.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Okay.
And if you do enough digging around, you'll know that the construct of marriage was never always the same one man. If you do enough digging around, you'll know that there were concubines, there were second wives, third wives.
That's not marriage. That's what they would call concubines.
My point is the structure of commitment.
Let's talk about concubines next week.
Acceptable. It was acceptable in certain societies, and everybody adhered to it. Currently,
right.
One man, one woman is what is what marriage is about and what commitment is about. And so that is why the sacrifice comes when you say, okay, just one on one. All I'm saying is it was not always that way. And that's why
it's like
you can always say marriage is not meant for everybody, commitment is not meant for everybody, and that's the beauty of life, that everybody is not privy to doing and being everything. You know, it's just, it would be boring. It really would. It would be pretty.
I used to love marriage. I just cringe now when I think about that shit, because most of my adult life, I've been in one. Something. With somebody. Shit. But anyway, next week, we're going to have Trice Hickman on the show, so I can imagine how that's going to go. She's the only guest. So we're going to really be talking not a lot of shit, I guess. Well, she kind of has some of that, but I'm not going to talk about her voice, DV, so we're not going to get into that shit. We're going to let her go.
Hey,
every time
you say something about her voice, we're going to put $5 into the pot.
Okay, well, I'm going to try not to talk about her voice. You know, she just went through a death in her family and all that, so I'll try not to cuss, but that's impossible. We'll try not to do
that.
She's going to
say,
but
it's impossible.
Well, I'm going to try.
Ain't nothing impossible.
But I love the conversation, and Cotton, you always have great subjects all the time. I appreciate it. Melanie, you always come in. You might as well just be part of the show. I don't know why you just pop in and out, but whatever. It's great.
No,
thank you.
My work schedule. That's all.
Right. And Shay, I thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on our show. And Monica Lee Jones, I know you're not listening now, but we thank you as well. Shay, whenever you got something going on, you know you're welcome to come back on the show anytime. We want to see what's going on with you. Actually, we want to schedule again, so when that new book comes out, we can talk about that. You know, so we want to get that going. So if you got time, we'd like to do that.
Yeah, we can do that, and I definitely want you to touch on the subject of concubines and is it possible to love two people at the same time? We need to talk about that.
Is it possible to love two people at the same time?
That.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible.
I think it's possible.
It's possible.
Bigamy is my thing.
Yeah.